Reggie.
And I'm a healed version of Brian.
And this is R&B Talks.
He talks.
Hey, welcome everybody. Back, Brian.
I know. I feel some semi-normal today, right? Like I've actually done the things I normally would do on a Saturday. It's very you take for granted simple things like being able to drive and being able to, you know, like go exercise and do certain things. You just take them for granted once you start doing them. And then when you lose them, you're like, dude, this is ridiculous.
This sucks.
I know. But today I kind of got back to normal. I feel good. The eye's healing well. Doctors seem to think I'm going to make a full recovery and shouldn't be any issues in the long run. So I'm a happy dude, man.
Yeah, man.
Of course, thanks to everybody, including Reginald and his family, for all the assistance during my time when I was all laid up and cracked open and looked like my eyeball was going to fall out. You know how it is. It was worse than I thought after they talked about the surgery.
Well,
that freaked me out a little bit, you know, because I had to replace pretty much about 90% of my orbital floor and a lot of my sinus wall and a lot of my orbital wall and use a different prosthetic.
From the airbag, dude. That's what's funny.
From the airbag. Well, you know, I go back to this.
It's debated, though.
I don't know if I hit the steering wheel. I had my seatbelt on. So I don't know if
but
I
your hit steering wheel airbag didn't come out, though, either.
No, it didn't. So it's so possible that my face could have hit the steering wheel during all the commotion.
I guess.
But
it's hard to say.
Because, it's hard. Know. There's no way. I don't remember. The only thing I remember.
You're not going to remember.
I remember two things. I remember.
Getting punched in the face.
No, I remember the deer and swerving to miss it and thinking this is really going to hurt. And then I remember the first impact of going off the culvert and the airbag hitting me in the face, and I don't remember anything after that.
Yeah, it probably knocked you out, bro.
Yeah.
You had a concussion.
I had a concussion, mild concussion, thankfully not a major concussion. But it hit me. It was like getting hit by Mike Tyson, dude. Like, it hit me hard. Like, and then I apparently blacked out. Maybe, like I said, somebody goes, did you hit the steering wheel? Well, they think I may have. They don't know for sure. Blood was all over the inside of that cab from where I busted my nose open and it just went everywhere.
I mean, and, you know.
So there's really how you're going to track that. I have no idea, right? Like, what are you going to, you know, there's no real way to tell. So I just, you know, I'm very grateful. This whole thing has taught me a lot, man. It's taught me about, you know, not taking things for granted because I think we do that every day. And I think, you know, being able to walk out of this with little to no long-term effects and, you know, I'm really grateful that my kids weren't in the car. I'm very grateful that I'm the only one that had to absorb the impact of all this physically. I'm grateful for all the people that rallied around me. I'm grateful for my job and the people that my work that have supported me. It's been really a kind of impressive time for, you know, sometimes you got to be reminded, right? And it reminds you that you need to be more prevalent and present for people as well. So overall, I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
Write that down.
7 out of 10. Okay. But anyway, I have been sit still and watch a lot of ridiculously bonker stuff go on since I was laying on the couch. Like,
well, it's not like anything other than normal, though, man.
No, actually, I gotta say, like, it's like they're trying to make it worse. Like, I, you know, I think the thing that gets me is the first thing that hits me, right, is this whole Letitia James thing of her falsifying documents. And here's my question to her. When you jumped up and decided you were going to prosecute Trump and talk all this garbage, you knew you had that stuff in your background. And you knew the first chance someone got, it was going to come to the surface. What was your plan?
Yeah.
What exactly were you going to say? Because you went on television and gave some kind of whacked out speech that you sounded, it literally, I've never seen a, you know, when they say somebody sounds guilty, she sounded guilty the whole time she was talking. Like it was so unimpressive. And it was just like, I'm going to just scream a lot of slurs and ridiculousness and hope that people ignore it. Right. And then, you know, we had the Florida shooter, dude, come on guys. Like,
And here's the thing that shocks me, and I don't blame anybody for he doing what he did. He was an adult and he made a decision. He may have been mentally ill. We don't know yet. We don't have a lot of information at this point about him.
It depends on if he was a CIA operative or not, whether you're going to get any kind of thing from him.
That's true.
But since the other people that have come across as that we have, like, oh, look, this guy, and then yeah, you will find nothing more about him.
But the question I ask is, was there not a single person in this person's purview, if he was mentally ill, that didn't for a second go, something wrong with this dude?
You know, the thing is, you probably somebody said that, thought that very thing, but it's like you never know.
Right.
Right. You don't know if they're like at the point where they're going to do something like that. But
and all the while,
I don't know,
the more of this crazy stuff that they stir up, the tighter Trump's hold becomes, and they're not seeing it. It's like they think, honestly, your best move is to tell everybody that AOC is going to be your presidential candidate.
Okay, let me say this. This is what happens when you are indoctrinated into Marxist principles.
Yeah.
You got to understand it. Marx wrote the beginner book for communism.
Yeah.
So
actually, I would call it the grandfathered in manual.
Well, yeah, I guess. Right? Sure.
Like if you
whatever at, you want to say, but like, yeah, you know, the all these regimes that we've had that they seem to attack everybody saying that we are or whoever or whatever are they're themselves are following that same playbook with how they do things like burning Teslas and swastikas and all this stuff, which is the same thing that happened during, you know, pre-Nazi era. So but anyway, what I'm saying is like it's this mindset, though, that is the reason why think about this. What after Hitler was dead or supposedly dead, whatever you want to say about that. But
today we're talking about conspiracies.
But the election they had, what did they do? They voted in a Nazi to continue.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? I mean, like they would already so This that's how strong the indoctrination can be.
Yeah.
So the second thing I'll say about all this stuff, whether it be Letitia or the shooting or whatever, or the constant keyboard warriors, but you know, it's you're refusing to look at all the evidence. And what I mean by that is like whether you keep telling me that you're following professional journalism, which let me say what that really means. When somebody says they only trust professional journalism, what they mean is they only trust journalism that agrees with them.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, dude, who would deny that there's not professional journalists who kind of go all over the political spectrum? So that's a stupid thing to say in the first thing. So what happens is when you have this mindset where you're only going to look at just that, and you go, so that particular ideology that is rooted in Marxism, that is rooted in indoctrination, that is rooted in divisive nature that it is for more control and more sheep that they can power control and all this stuff. So what happens is you see the same words, mm-hmm, the same propaganda over and over again, repeated in all the news articles and all the anchors and everything else. They're promoting this nonsense. And it's so repetitive that it just becomes like it is almost like brainwashing people.
Well,
that's what happens.
It's kind of like being in an abusive relationship. Cause when some people are in an abusive relationship, if you're told you're dumb and you don't know what you're talking about enough times, you start to believe it. Right. Because it's all you're hearing. And I think the problem is persons like you and myself, Reggie, who do independent research. Like I don't use Fox News. I don't use MSNBC. I don't use CNN. I do independent research. And the problem that you have is that it's this willful ignorance and this willful laziness of I'll just believe whatever I'm fed, right? Like
that's it.
And you're starved of intellect. You don't understand what it means to think things through. You're letting your emotions dictate your thought process, which I think is the biggest and actual worst mistake that's made by any adult, is to allow your emotions to dictate your thought process. You must understand and know that your emotions will lead you to make irrational decisions. And that's what's happening right now. I mean, just as an example, you know, you know, AOC and Bernie are flying all over the country having oligarchy rallies when they're actually part of the 1% and wealthy. it's like pooping on me and telling me you're pouring chocolate on me, dude. It's not how it works. I don't understand the whole, like, and here's the thing. There are ignorant, uneducated people that are eating it up. Oh yeah, well let's let the millionaires tell us how to spend our money.
But the same token, they'll say, well, what, the billionaires are in control of the government right now. And it's like,
do they realize that 95% of the billionaires in the world are on the left?
That's kind of the point, right? It's like, you know, you wait a minute, you have two guys.
Yeah.
Uber wealthy as far as the world is concerned, yeah. The top echelon of wealth, right? But those are your only two.
Yeah.
Where's the other billionaires that are, you know, any liberty focused?
And AOC is now going after the left billionaires. They're eating their own.
Yeah.
Like, okay. you're like making like a shepherd's pie of leftist billionaires to eat on the left.
But here's
say it.
Who would deny that Tucker Carlson is not a professional journalist? Who would say that?
I don't think anybody would. That's rational.
Okay.
Right.
So this is a great example.
Yeah.
He has people on, because, you know, when he left, and, you know, there's all kinds of weird crap about how, when he left and all that. Okay, I won't get into all that. But his definite reporting changed.
Yeah.
Which I didn't really care for when he was with
Fox News.
Because I didn't really like Fox News, period, anyway. But so when he gets on his own, though, and starts actually, to me, doing real journalism, the Putin interview, he's interviewed all kinds of people. And these interviews are not.
And don't get me wrong. I had issues with the Putin interview and some of the things that he said. Some things that Tucker said that I felt were very unnecessary and sort of kind of condoning a form of communism that is. You know, but anyway, go ahead.
What I'm saying, though, is like, you know, so you just, if you don't listen to that kind of thing because it's Tucker Carlson's show, who is a professional journalist, you're missing a huge bunch of people and evidence that kind of, you know, actually shed light on things. Now, if you watch just the Daily Wire all day.
Yeah.
Then you're missing out on a bunch of other things because they're obviously going to do what they're going to do. So the point is, like, you cannot tell me any rational human being, if they looked at more than just CNN, would say, oh, the left is the way to go. You wouldn't. That's not a rational thing to say. Okay. Anyway, look, I want to get to the Florida shooting thing, though. Okay, not that I know anything about the shooting. I really haven't paid much attention
to it. Well, I read, but there's just not a lot of information out there about it right now. We know who he is. We know who his father or his mother was. We know that there were some things that happened in his life that probably impacted him, but we don't really have a lot of history, Facebook, Twitter, any of his history that we can look at and say, oh, well, this is what was going on in the guy's mind, right? We just know that he walked onto campus and shot people at this point.
So, but what we do now have is actual real, I would say, academic study around citizen versus law enforcement active shooter scenarios when that happens. Okay.
Fair enough.
So what the study did was looked at FBI and criminal research and all this stuff. It's not a news thing. This is actually from some research organization, but it's a short paper about the statistics around when an armed citizen reacts to a active shooter scenario versus when the law enforcement does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so really, this was really awesome in just telling, because now we have real data, a real study around, is there really, you know, study specifically armed at, like, should armed citizens engage in an active shooter scenario? Yeah. Let me cut this to the grip. This really says that it's that an active shooter scenario is high. You have a higher likelihood of less injuries, less deaths, less wrong person being shot,
yes,
less shooter being active shooter, or I'm sorry, not active shooter, but the person who's engaging as shooter being injured or shot. If an active, if an armed citizen does it. Let me say that again. The armed citizen is better in this study with all those statistics, is better to react than the law enforcement officer.
Absolutely.
Now, they go through a whole bunch of stuff about like why that could be. Because, I mean, a law enforcement officer in uniform, I mean, you know, they're already kind of a target anyway, that kind of thing. But there's a 40% difference in injuries and deaths when an active shooter incident happens when the armed citizen intervenes versus the law enforcement.
Absolutely.
40%, dude.
Yep. That's not a small statistic, right? Like that's a huge swath of huge swinging statistic, right? But I don't know. I'm thinking to myself, you know, first off, I'll give Trump some kudos for I don't always do this, but I'm going to. For him to come out and say, guns don't kill people, people kill people. I still stand by the statement that if you want to outlaw guns, you need to outlaw hammers and screwdrivers and axes and steak knives and all the rest of it. Because if they can't kill them with a gun, they're just going to kill somebody with something else. Right. And we don't seem to have a very intelligent, especially on the left, a very intelligent view of this. They want to, again, let their emotions drive their logic, which is one does not do the other. But in an active shooter situation, let's just, Indiana is a conceal and carry state, right? It makes me have comfort to know that where I live, there are probably a couple hundred dudes walking around loaded for bear who, if something goes down, they're not going to have any hesitation at drawing and going after it. And I carry myself. So I will definitely, if there's a situation where I think somebody's going to lose their life and there's an active shooter, I'm going to intervene, right? There's a need for that, right? I think this sort of weirdly connects to the whole, you know, the left is talking about, you know, the Trinde Aragua gang member bringing him back because his violation, his constitutional rights have been violated. Actually, they haven't. You have to be a citizen of the United States to have constitutional rights. When you are an illegal in our country, you don't have constitutional rights.
Yeah.
You're not a citizen. And that's not me saying that I don't want people to be citizens. If you go through the process and you become a citizen and you have the right to the same constitutional rights I have, but if you're here illegally, you have been it has been proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that he is a perpetrator of partner violence. He is a gang member. He has been suspected of human trafficking. There is a laundry list of things that have been proven beyond the shadow of a doubt, including his wife's own signature on papers saying that he was a violent and dangerous individual who had beaten and threatened her.
Yeah.
And the Dems are literally lining up, you know, especially, I don't even want to know the guy's name. I tried to remember it, but the guy just is insulting. You know, he goes to a meeting with this gang member in El Salvador and they catch him on camera having a margarita with lunch. And his response to that is not to take responsibility for his actions, but to claim that there's some kind of setup conspiracy because they put less margarita liquid in one glass than they did in the other glass. I'm like, you're just stupid. Like just a stupid man. Like for that to even be your defense. Do you know how desperate and absolutely reachy you have to be? And it goes back to this active shooter thing. It goes back to this whole gun thing. You want to outlaw guns. Great. Tell me how we're going to protect ourselves.
Right. Armed citizens reduced the number of people wounded in active shooter incidents by 41%, while the police have no significant effect. The difference in effectiveness is significant at better than the 1% level. So it means the statistical variables are constitutional carry laws reduce the number of people wounded by 11%, which is significant at the 10% level for a two-tiered Z test. Here's the deal.
Amen.
We've known this forever.
Yeah.
Any smart person knows that if you have like an average, and I forgot what the average the response time was, but it was something like 15 minutes. 5 minutes. Let's even just say 5 minutes. So you got 5 minutes. It takes somebody, an EMS, emergency responder, law enforcement, whoever, to respond to an active shooter scenario. You got 5 minutes. Let's just give it really good, a lot of grace. 5 minutes. 5 minutes for this dude to run around and just shoot.
And in about 2 minutes, you can kill a half dozen to a dozen people if you have the right of fire.
Well, but still, if you're there and you are armed, yeah, you can at least do something to stall.
To divert attention.
Something.
Well, here's my thing, too. And you know, I heard an ill-fated argument on a podcast about how all an armed citizen does is cause another life to be lost.
No, that's not what the data says.
That's the dumbest. That's you defending the active shooter, right?
Like, pretty much.
Yes, he's going to die. And we know statistically that most active shooters, a very large proportion of them, when they know they're going to get caught, they kill themselves. So that life is already lost most of the time. So, so what you're telling me is we should just let him stroll through the school and just keep shooting, and we all just hide and hope we don't die, and then hope that the police show up and hope that they kill him or hope that it stops. No, hope in one hand and crap in the other, and tell me which one gets fuller fastest, dude. I'm not trying to hear all that nonsense.
No, I mean, it's just the thing is, man, it's like this, dude. Here's a scenario. Let's say you're in Acme Foods and you're walking around with your family, and a disgruntled employee comes in with some kind of firearm, whatever the hell it may be, starts shooting up the place. So you go take cover, which is what you should do. Then somebody calls 911. So you got 5 minutes. This dude's going to walk around Acme Foods and be looking for people, right? He comes around the corner and there he is. It's like you've been there for maybe 3 minutes. All right. What do you do? What are you going to do at that point?
I'm going to take cover. You're going
to shield your kids. You'll try to take cover if you can.
I'm going to get my kids to the safest spot I can, my wife to my safest spot I can.
But they come around the corner, though. They see you, right?
And if he comes around the corner, I'm going to put every round in him.
Okay. If you don't have, let's say the leftist, liberal, woke death cult had their way. They have taken all the firearms. So you have nothing. What are you going to do?
You're going to hit him with some baloney.
You're going to, no. According to some of these people, you got to try to talk them down.
Yeah, no. Crazy's crazy, bro.
So then you're going to shield your kids. He's going to kill you, kill your kids. On the other hand, if you are you have a firearm, you know how to use it. You have absolutely, you know, the balls to sit there and you do the same thing though. You're still taking cover. You're still trying to do something. It's not like you're supposed to be the guy who's attempting to be a hero, but you need to defend yourself and others. Yeah,
but the problem is you're not trying to be a hero. You're trying to keep your family alive. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not hero, right? I'm not going in and beating up the Joker. There's a guy trying to kill people.
I'm going to take cover. My weapon is going to be drawn. I'm going to make sure I get my kids as close to somewhere safe as I can, and I'm going to engage them as safely as I can for those in the vicinity and for my family, right? But I'm going to engage that person. Like, that's going to happen. Yeah. Like, so at that point, though, now I've at least done the shooter's at least trying to figure out who's shooting at them or whatever.
You've distracted them.
Or I hit him, put him down, whatever the case may be.
And save lives.
But either way, then that's what the study goes through and shows, that like when an armed civilian engages an active shooter, that's why there's such a significant lessening of injuries or deaths resulting from that incident. That's why, because you're there.
Yeah.
The response time is zero.
Yeah.
You're there.
Yeah.
Now, this is why I've said all along, it's not that it's not gun control. It's the complete opposite. It's like bringing back firearm safety, firearm handling, firearm stuff in our schools, and making that a thing that we actually teach to defend yourself and everything else. You know, that's it. It's not taken away. It's more.
Yeah.
I mean, there's statistic after statistic.
Honest with you. I'm all for, you know, teachers carrying.
But anyway, so the point is, this is an actual academic paper that has data from FBI, from, like I said, all these kind of things. So link will be in the description, but just let me just say this real clear. I am right.
Yeah.
I am right.
He's right.
So yeah, there's that. Anyway, I just want to bring that up because it's, you know, every time there's some kind of shooter thing, it always comes up and, you know,
okay,
even though when you have, so for example, oh, sorry, one thing, what really always blew my mind, right, was yeah. some of these movie theater shootings that happened where yeah. they would pass the ones that didn't have firearm restrictions and they would go to the one that actually did.
Yeah.
The, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Why was that? I wonder.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But they were insane though. Right. Anyway, I do have something I want to talk about.
Okay.
And I find myself as I get older, Reggie, becoming a far more empathetic man and feeling.
I didn't think you had feelings.
I found them. I did. I found them. I don't think they're very strong, but I found them. They're still there. We have now caught and arrested four of the young individuals involved in firebombing Tesla dealerships. Now, I do not in any way remove blame from them for what they did. They were adults, although young adults, and they made a very poor and permanently life-altering decision that is going to affect every breath they take for the rest of their existence. More than likely, they're going to do 20 plus years. If not, they might do 10 if they own good behavior, whatever, because they didn't murder anybody. Thank God nobody was killed.
That's true.
But I here's where here's the part where, you know, I tried my hardest to hang on to that part of myself that wanted to believe that the liberal left was just misled. And what I've seen over the last 2 to 3 weeks has led me to believe that there is an intentional incitement of violence going on, to the point of there are some people in the liberal left that need to be prosecuted for their influence in this. Four young adults have been arrested, four. All of them facing the maximum federal charge. Pam Bondi is not pulling punches. She's not looking to give anybody a break. They're going to get full throat prosecuted, and they are not going to come out of this anything other than going to prison. If they do get out of prison, they're going to spend the rest of their life paying back the money that they get judged against, because there's going to be monetary judgments against them, as well as, you know, getting locked up. They're never going to get a good job. They're never going to work in a place where they're trusted. For the rest of their life, they're going to be questioned because they're considered felony criminals who've been to prison. Any hope that they had for a decent future is gone. And then not a single person, even Governor Shapiro, who had a lunatic burn his mansion down, he came out and said, we got to stop political violence. But it took his family almost dying and him almost dying for him to say that. I am 100% full bore convinced that there is a psyop situation happening right now where the liberal left is intentionally inciting violence and feeding young people to the machine in a bizarre sacrifice and some kind of psychotic line of thinking that says this is justifiable. Now, let me say this. There have been some left-wing lunatics, you know, there have been some right-wing lunatics. What I can say is I can take you back to a dozen instances where Republicans have come out and said, this is not okay. This has got to stop. Like, stop what you're doing, right? I cannot take you to one other than Governor Shapiro's mansion being burnt down, where someone came out with a full-throated rebuke of political violence. That tells me that this is intentional. That tells me that people like Jasmine Crockett and AOC and others. Now, do I think that they're intentionally meaning to get people killed? No, probably not. Do I think they're intentionally stirring violence and rhetoric? Absolutely.
No, I think they actually don't care if people get killed.
I don't think they do either, but I don't think they're literally going out and saying, well, we'll get people killed. But I think they're saying, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. I think they're, matter of fact, I think it would make them happy.
And they're turning these kids into martyrs, but there's no cause. See, a martyr has a cause, right? Like Joan of Arc had a cause, right? Christ was martyred for us. That was a cause. Burning up Teslas to prove that your side is right and you're actually going after the man who is actually working hard to create EVs and help with the environment just makes you look stupid.
Indeed.
And unfortunately, I have this real deep empathy for these kids who are now going to prison because they have been lied to. They have been misled. They have been given false information. They have been intentionally, mentally interfered with. Their lives have been disrupted. Their families will suffer for the rest of their days. And I don't think the liberal left gives a damn.
Well, I think the liberal left does what they do to support the complexes and organizations that fund them and make them rich.
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is the intelligence agencies that have been out of control for decades, as we can see from all the way back from even when Kennedy was assassinated till now and everything else, and the military industrial complex that's involved in that, and the where the money flows, where it goes, the actions that have taken place that we have no business being in and everything else. It all just goes back to protecting and perpetrating that power and wealth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, and that's not like hyperbole. I mean, and really that you would think that would be a conspiracy theory and people will still probably call it that, but that's only because you have literally no sense of going to look at what actually is
happening.
And not even that, but like, it's not, they don't hide it.
Yeah. They're not.
And it's part of what makes it really stupid.
Here's the thing. They're not being clever about it.
Well, they don't have to.
They're not being clever. They're not, it's not this, oh, well, we just wish they wouldn't have done that. It's the, oh, you're burning crap. You're ruining your life. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. You're good. Right. Like I don't, you know, and then you have, you know, I will admit it. I love watching Charlie Kirk videos. Just because, not because of Charlie Kirk, I just like to listen to the lunacy of these kids that come to the mic and they say these wildly untrue things and they spout this vile anti-American vomit
that they've heard from
their institution and from their teachers and you really have to realize that the left is really working hard to turn our youth into lunatics. Like they're really, there's a concerted effort going on right now to turn the youth of our country into lunatics.
Well, let me just say on that note, if Harvard went away tomorrow,
no one would care.
I would not care. Now, has Harvard produced some good things? Absolutely.
Of course.
However, the indoctrination is overboard and the look right now, the Trump administration is got the support and the wherewithal to just, if anybody defies that kind of stuff that they're saying, they're going to take care of it.
Well, here's the thing.
They're going to follow through.
The majority of the cases that the left has tried to fight in Supreme Court and the upper courts in the last 90 days, they've lost.
Yeah.
Like you're literally, you keep losing and then thinking if we just keep doing, it's kind of like
wasting time.
It's kind of like, I'm going to play basketball in the NBA, but I'm only going to shoot with a deflated ball and you lose every game. And then you think, well, it's not the ball. It's the game's unfair. No, you're just a moron.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be this way. Like here's the thing. And this is what I said. I actually was having a discussion in the waiting room I was having a discussion with one of the nurses who was working on my eye. Very nice lady. And it actually, I felt like what I said was impacting her. I said, she goes, well, you know, I have a gay son and and I want to support. And I was like, you know what? I don't blame you for that. That's your son, right? There's, you want to take care of your son. I get that. You don't want him to be ostracized. And she was talking about how he's attending all these rallies and he's doing all these things. And I just looked at her and I said, has it accomplished anything? And she goes, no, not really. I was like, I'm going to ask you a very direct question. I don't mean this in a mean way. Is there ever going to come a point when you're going to look at your son and go, that doesn't work? You need to figure out something new. You need to try something new. And she looked at me and literally she was probably in her 40s, looked at me and said, no, probably not. And I'm like, I was like, it's kind of like smacking your head against the brick wall. You might think you're going to knock a hole in that brick wall, but it's not going to happen. Right. So I think what we've done is we've created but the left has created this, you know, and I honestly, just to be truthful with you, the Tea Party Republicans are this way as well. You know, because there's been some Republicans that have done some things in the last couple of days that I've been like, you need to shut up because you're just making this worse, right? You're just adding fuel to the fire. So there's this thing of America voted, right? I get that you wanted something, right? But America voted, you were out, you lost, right? You lost, you just lost, man. I'm not making fun of you. I'm not trying to crack jokes at you. You lost. Like, you know, it's like if you play a football game and you lose, you just lost, dude. There's nothing you can do. Just go to the next game, right? But instead of going, okay, we now know that the majority of America does not want what we want. And we have to govern, right? And we're going to stop this crazy, stupid, ignorant behavior. We're going to ask the people that are on our side to stop what they're doing. And we're going to go try to work hand in hand and side by side with the political power that's in charge right now so that we can get some things done. It's no, we're going to fight, fight, fight. We're going to keep backing causes that are 80-20 causes that only 20, maybe sometimes 10% of America would agree with. The other 90%, 80% doesn't. We're going to lie openly. We're going to teach our kids to espouse the same lies that we tell. Bernie Sanders, I'm sorry, is a prime example of his entire fabric of what he believes is an absolute lie. He is a Marxist. He is not a democratic socialist. He wants Marxism. He wants a communist country. Just look at the things that he says. And we've created this dynamic of my way or die. Well, you're dying, right? You're dying. You're literally dying. Your approval rate is at 21%.
Not only that. Okay. So let's talk, because we're getting on.
Okay, sorry.
That rabbit trail.
I know.
This is more lunacy. More lunacy. Two biological men competed in the finals of a women's pool tournament in the UK.
Yeah.
Now, how absurd do you really have to get?
Yeah, like how absolutely lost do you have to be to look at what happened and go, yeah, that's all right. These are two men who couldn't make it in there on the men's side. Here's the truth. And here's the truth of it. And you can say whatever you want. And here's and I'm going to give you my proof of it. First of all, you sucked on the men's side and you couldn't get it done. So you went someplace where you could take advantage of physical differences and be better. And the fact that you weren't good enough to win on your own side and now you're celebrating beating the other side. But here's the thing, and here's the flip-flop, right? Name me, Reggie. I'm going to ask you, just name it for me, Reggie. How many women are playing in the NFL right now?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Let me think. Zero.
How many women are playing in the NBA right now, Reggie?
Let me think about that. That would be zero.
NHL?
That might be zero.
How many? I'll go one more. How about Major League Baseball?
Oh, yeah. Zero. No.
Okay. So this is not a going both ways thing.
No.
Right? This is not, women are trying to get into men's sports.
They have, though.
They've attempted to, but they instantly got crushed and realized it wasn't going to happen. This is men who are not men. And let me tell you why I feel this way. Because people are going to go, well, you couldn't play in the NFL. You're right, I can't. I sucked at football. I sucked at it. I was a mediocre JV basketball player. The only thing I've ever been really good at is lifting weights as far as anything athletic. I was a power lifter. That was pretty basic. It was pretty easy to do, right? As far as just, you know, there was a pretty singular path to get to that. You have a bunch of dudes who are so weak in what they do that the only way that they can assuage their ego, and that's what this is ego, is to violate the rights of women. And I don't mind saying this, but here's my biggest part. I am sorely disappointed in women right now because these men are stealing from you. These men are robbing you of opportunities and doing it blatantly, and you are allowing it.
So it is absurd. And then you get another report saying that the UK high courts have ruled that biological men cannot be women.
The UK, baby.
So but you have to understand the UK, and this isn't just news reports and stuff like that. I mean, I actually manage people who live in the United Kingdom, that live in Great Britain. I do. I talk to them all the time.
Yeah.
It's bad. Like, you know, there's a significant amount of Islamic extremism that has moved into the UK. And they are, I mean, look, there's that is where you would go if we didn't have some other leadership in this country.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah,
here's my thing.
It's just nuts, like, dude.
And here's the thing. You're not going to tell me that there's not a physical advantage, because if there wasn't a physical advantage, there would be women in men's sports.
Or
if it was an even playing field, ladies and gentlemen. If it was an even playing field and men were not stronger than women and women were not stronger than men, there never would have been a women's or a men's league in the first place.
Yeah. We would never have created that. You would have the men who come into the women's sports lose.
Yeah. And they don't. They don't lose. They don't lose. And you would have women injuring men in sports, which doesn't happen. And you would have and look, this not to say anything. Dude, I have been around some of the toughest women you will ever run into. There are several women that I met in powerlifting and Olympic lifting. Dude, it is frightening how strong they are.
It is, dude, but
it's not the same.
It is different. And I'm not saying it's not that they can't be strong.
And it's not to take away that they could be the best in their sport.
It's not.
There are women right now. There's a 137-pound woman that picked up the 770-pound Denny Stones. At the world's strongest woman competition. Tell me that. Think about that. That's 4.5 times her body weight.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Like that's so impressive that I'm like, that might be one of the most impressive strength feats ever done. If you really look at it in the lens of what it is. Yeah,
from that standpoint.
Yeah. But then there's guys like Brian Shaw who picked them up and walked back and forth across the bridge like 8 times and was like, hey, you know, and it's not the same.
It isn't the same. Right. I mean, because you got to understand that the what was the other look at bodybuilding,
yeah,
right, and you look at guys like in their prime, like Lou Ferrigno,
yep.
Ron Coleman, Paul Dedet, he was a monster. I mean, dude. They don't women aren't built like that.
Dorian Yates, dude. The original mass monster, dude. Like he was just uncorked.
It is impossible.
And don't get me wrong, there are some big, big women out there.
I know, but it's impossible to get to that point.
Not without destroying everything that makes you a woman.
Like,
I get that, but even then
there are limitations.
Even
then, the musculoskeletal tissue, everything is a limitation.
Because you could not have, let's say there's a woman who's the same, like 6'3", as Paul Dillett, right?
Yeah.
And so same height.
Yeah.
And they decide they want to be a man, and when they take puberty, they still don't have the frame or the muscle density to actually hold the muscle mass that Paul Dillett did.
No, they do not.
Right?
No.
It will never happen. It doesn't matter how many testosterone shots and hormone therapies and whatever.
Steroids.
Never get there.
Never going to get there.
You could never get there.
It will not happen.
That's what I mean. It's impossible. Okay. Anyway, so there is one thing I think that is quite hilarious that we must talk about.
Okay. Let's do it.
The Hodge twins, which I find hilarious.
Love those guys.
A lot of times. CNN, our fantastic professional journalism network that the liberal death cult loves. They had an undercover woman.
Oh yes. Date nothing but
over far right men far for right 1 year.
Yeah.
And what did they discover, Brian? What do you think they discovered?
We're better.
Well, for one, here's this professional journalism for you. For one, this chick is wicked liberal in New York.
Yeah.
So let's just say this. They're far right men in New York, which is like saying you have a cowboy in London or something. Yeah. I mean, that does – come on. Not that they're not there. I'm not saying that. But like in general
– no.
Most far right, especially when you say quote unquote far right, they won't live in New York anyway. Yeah. They won't because they're not going to like it there. That's just it. So she's dating quote unquote far right men in New York over only 1 year period.
Yeah.
So what doesn't get answered, and I couldn't get access to the original CNN story because I refused to pay CNN to access their
stuff. Yeah, I'm not going to financially support their garbage.
But just going by what I've read about it, okay? So they don't say how many. They don't say what the,
what their median income was.
Don't say anything.
Doesn't say anything.
And so she goes on this whole thing about how they're just so insecure. And I mean, it's all this, but it's, if you're watching those clips.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't occur to you that this is just utter nonsense, like trumped up. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
No, look, no right, like liberty minded dude would look at this woman, not because she was unattractive, but like her whole persona, like is not, you wouldn't be attracted to that.
Yeah.
Okay. And she'll say like, oh, they come across as like caring and all this stuff, but really they're just white supremacist. She says this in the clips. Well, white supremacist and all this
like
stuff.
Like it didn't even make me mad. I just laughed and I was like, it's like, you're just a moron.
Yeah.
Not very smart.
But here's the professional journalism going for this stupid story that had no real sources or real data or real anything.
No comparable facts. No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And a matter of fact, you go over just 1 year period. So like for there's a lot of predominantly Christian men in the right. Especially when we say far right.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know any far right man who would say, oh, I'm going to date this chick and in a year.
And on top of that, for a woman like that to get a far right man to date her, she would have to misrepresent herself
The
initial, right? Like you would have to, if you're a liberal, you're intentionally hiding, you're misrepresenting yourself from the beginning. So the entire experiment that you're claiming that you did is based on an absolute lie.
Her Instagram is full of just nonsense.
It's based on fully false far left narrative.
But it's
was built by a single person with no scientific evidence.
This whatsoever. Is part of what this show exists for, though, for this kind of thing. Because this is exactly the kind of attack that they want to do for masculinity. Mm-hmm. They want everybody to be this uber feminist, no balls kind of person. But unfortunately, this woman and nor CNN knows what that is.
Well, here's the
problem. So there's that.
Here's the problem, Reggie. I'm going to lay some honest on you right now.
Okay.
And this is where you see through the lie of liberal women calling masculinity bad. And this is not a bad thing. This is just historically the way it's been. For men, love is transactional. For women, love is intrinsic, right? Women are not
there's the same expectation doesn't exist, right? So, I don't care if you're a liberal woman or a conservative woman. If we were dating and I was lazy and all I did was lay around on the couch, I didn't provide, I didn't do anything, I just expected you to pay for everything, you're going to throw me out. And it's because it's transactional. So this lie that's been sold, I want this sensitive man and I can be the boss bee and I can do this. And that's all a lie, because you're not going to tolerate that man. Right. You like to say those things because it sounds impressive to women who are lost and don't know what they're doing and don't know what they want. And, oh, well, I want a man that makes $500,000 a year and blah, blah. You don't deserve one because you bring nothing to the table. Right. So this whole thing of wanting a soft, cuddly man who's emotionally that. No, you don't. Because here's the thing. If the criminal kicks the front door open, you're not going to get up and stop him. Part of the transaction that you want with that man is protection. Part of the transaction that you want with that man is permanence. Part of the transaction you want with that man is to take charge in all high stress situations. So exactly what truth are you telling when you say, well, I dated all these real quote unquote far right men. Okay. And they all were insecure. No, doing what has been intrinsically built into men for hundreds of years. And our love is love of men is transactional.
But even this, the whole thing about this is ridiculous anyway, because like you obviously dated more than one man over a period of 1 year.
Yeah.
Well, how well did you even get to know any of these? Like, what are we talking? Like, you went on a date every week or something, and like you only went on one or two dates, maybe with
three dates, maybe.
I mean, what are you talking about?
Okay, next question. Were you sleeping with these men? I mean, there's so many weird.
That's what I'm saying. This is a stupid. It's just
stupid variables that don't count.
But like, it makes perfect sense for.
How did you find out they were far right? Did you have that? Did you ask? I mean, if a woman walked up to me and said, are you a far right Republican?
Be like, why are you asking me that?
I'd be like, why are you asking me? Well, I want to date you. Yeah, I'm not dating you because you're weird. That's a weird thing to ask me in the initial.
I just found it just one of those examples of just how they're so desperate for their ideology to catch on that they're going to do stuff like that.
Well, it just shows that's what's sad about that is that interview to anyone that has an iota of common sense literally has no merit within the first 65 to 75.
But again, this is their professional journalism, dude.
This is what they pass off as professional journalism. Yeah.
Not the Sean Ryan interviews with like generals and like the you know operators who have existed and lived and worked in
have lived experiences.
Yeah, and like you know even Russell Brand who like was like man that dude was Uber, you know free thing you know then
he's facing possible rape convictions right now, and fighting for his life, and he's still out there espousing.
There's all these independent guys who are and women who are doing all these journalistic things that aren't belong to CNN or whatever. They're not necessarily right or left or whatever. And you just, why would I listen to that garbage instead of that garbage?
Well, here's the thing too.
You know what I mean?
And our last election was an example of it. Until Trump went on Rogan and until Vance went on Rogan and Elon went on Rogan. Who Rogan is a liberal. He's not a far left liberal, but he's a liberal. And they went on there and won Rogan over. And those Rogan interviews swung that election. Whether you like it or not, Joe Rogan is a very influential individual. I'm a Rogan fan. I don't agree with everything that Rogan says, but I feel like if you and I were talking to Joe Rogan, we could have a rational conversation.
Oh, we'd have a good, yeah.
I mean, so sure. What the left doesn't realize is you're still going to the CNNs and the MSNBCs and the Rachel Maddows who have been proven to have been lying on the air. And all of these things are, you can't take these things out of the purview of people, right? It's been seen, it's known. And the common sense people have looked at it and gone, they're liars. And you keep going back to the source and saying, well, just lie more and we'll get what we want. Right. And what you're doing is you're not seeing, you know, Gavin Newsom, you know, honestly, the only one of all of them that actually kind of got it
and started a podcast, but then shot it in the foot when he decided to sue the federal government because he misappropriated the funds for his state and had to write a bailout check. And now he's looking for help. And because Trump is like, no, I'm not helping you, I'm going to sue you for tariffs. You're not going to win that lawsuit. It's not going to happen. None of you are. None of you are. You've lost them all already except for one. And the one that you lost, you probably, nobody was going to win that lawsuit. You literally just can't figure it out. It's so frustrating. It's like watching a kid who says he wants to play baseball and he thinks hitting home runs is smacking himself in the forehead with the bat.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Are you just mentally incapable of seeing everything that's going on and figuring it out and changing directions? Or are you just so ignorant that you literally believe that all of these people that voted against you are going to change their mind just because you said so?
You know, it's just silly, dude.
But anyway,
I'm just saying what occurs to me is there are people who think they're smart, but are so closed-minded, and they sit there and trump up all this nonsense about professional journalism, this and that, and we only listen to this and this, and you just sound like an idiot. That's really what it comes down to. Yeah. I don't care if you're right, left, libertarian, Green Party, constitutionalist, whatever, but like, if you just say that kind of stuff from CNN is the way you know, the only thing you're going to listen to, that's the kind of garbage you're going to get. And that's just, it is, it's garbage. So anyway, okay. Moving on. The COVID.gov site was changed.
Yeah. To reflect that the virus came from China.
Shocker.
Go figure. Wonder what happened.
Well, you know, since Fauci, well,
basically has been proven to be an absolute just on fire. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
But he was pardoned.
Well, yeah. He was pardoned because they knew what was going to come out
when
Biden left. That's what's so funny.
So that's what they put this website out, bro. It's like, hey.
It's so funny because that's another part of this whole legacy media. Have you noticed how anything about,
oh, it's when, gone. When
they all reported and all the reports are coming out now about COVID and the legacy media, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, the ABCs, the CBSs have just decided that COVID doesn't exist anymore. They're not going to report on it at all. And they're going to pretend that they didn't spend 2 years ramping up fear and calling people grandma murderers and grandma murderers. You're murdering grandma.
But how to not understand how much these intelligence organizations have orchestrated or at least prepared for these things and used them for purposes. You got to be some kind of just, and I'm not saying there's like hard evidence. I'm not, but there's enough to say,
there's enough. anecdotal evidence to say, holy crap.
Yeah. There's some, I mean, you know, and this even goes back to
actually there is the evidence.
There is.
Look at what the CDC and the WHO did during COVID. Like that's pure evidence of ignorance.
Well, and Tucker Carlson just had on, what was his name? One of those, or the congressman who was, he lost his election. They like arrested his daughter for corruption, all kinds of stuff. But he was a acting chair of the one of the committees or something. Anyway, he wrote a book about the 9/11 commission paper and all this stuff and how it was all just garbage, which it didn't take anybody an ounce of intelligence to figure that out. But he's got all the evidence that says how and why is all this. And, you know, and if you there's enough there. Let me just say this, whether you believe him or not, but he's got enough that says maybe there is a problem in, you know, so this is where I'm going with how like people, it just blows me away that it's not like I'm this huge Trump fan or you are, or we're like these hardcore conservative people. Matter of fact, I truly think it's absolutely distasteful for these Republicans who get into office and who then act the same way as the left party, because that's part of the problem we have now in Congress is we have too many Republican people who are doing the exact same as any of the left people.
Well, it's because it's the same people that are making the left rich are making the right rich.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's not, there's no differential.
No, no.
If you don't think that there is some shady dealings going on Capitol Hill to make Republicans rich, and I could give you about a dozen examples in the last 15 years of Republicans who have raked in millions of dollars and become uber wealthy.
Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell. Like Mitch McConnell is a perfect example of someone who has become abnormally wealthy off being in the government, right? The entire Kennedy family, abnormally wealthy from being in the government. There's a very, somebody asked me this once and I can't remember when it was, but they said, well, why do you think the Republicans are doing that? Because they're getting rich too. Like, here's the thing. I don't look at any politician, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, you're all rich and you're trying to tell me what I should do with my money and how much taxes I should pay. And it's laughable. It really is. Like, if you look at the entirety of our government, you and I have said this a long time ago when we started this podcast, and I stand by this statement, there is no recovering our government. It is corrupt beyond normalcy.
I don't know about it's non-recoverable.
We need to start over in the sense of we need to set term limits, get all these guys out.
That's true.
And then we need to put some prerequisites in place for people who can be in our government. People like Ilhan Omar and that you should not be in the U.S. government. You are literally anti-American. Mitch McConnell, you have been a poison pill for the Republican Party ever since Biden was elected. Your true colors came out. Everybody now knows what you are. You're a rhino, dude. You're the purest rhino. Mitt Romney, you're a rhino, dude. You're not a Republican. You're pretending, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not real impressed with Amy Coney Barrett. She has made some decisions in the Supreme Court as a quote unquote right-leaning justice that no common sense right-leaning justice would ever make. So I think the corruption is so deep in every section of our government. It's so entrenched and so just silted and grown into the government that I don't think you can ever rescue our government.
Well, what I would say is, and going to the current thing we're at, that everybody's mad about tariffs and about how Trump's doing this and Trump does that. And I'll say this again. He's not doing enough.
Yeah.
I'm as outraged as you are, except my outrage is that he's not doing enough. Yeah, he hasn't torn it all down yet.
Yeah. My outrage is you should be pummeling other countries at this point for what they've
done. Well, not even pummeling other countries. I'm saying he should have torn, like Doge, if I got an inclination of this, department's done.
Yeah.
Shut down.
Well, here's another thing.
Go away.
Everybody's like, well, he can't do that to China. Yes, he can. And look what's happening. China's economy is about to collapse because America is the number one consumer of Chinese products in the world. They have gotten so desperate that they have gone to countries that they normally wouldn't do business with, entities that would normally not be involved with them, to try to gang up against the United States. And those countries have told them, no, we don't want to deal with you. China is their own worst enemy.
It is. And I mean, we have allowed, I mean, look, I'm all for, like, when libertarians talk about free trade and all this stuff, you know, being able to have a free trade thing, if everybody would do it, would be great. The problem is we've just been taken advantage of since the World War I.
Well, what you're seeing, to give Europe a little bit of credit, I think Europe is like, we got to do something. So they're trying to get a free trade agreement with us. No tariffs at all. You ship whatever you want to us. We'll ship whatever we want to you. No tariffs.
There you go.
That's the way it should be, right? It should be, if you want to be in our markets, we should be able to be in your markets. There shouldn't be a penalty on either side.
Right. We're not bankrolling you. You're not bankrolling us. Yeah. Let's go.
We're independent. And this goes back to the United States being the diaper of every other country in the globe. Our responsibility is not to be the handmaiden of the world.
Yes. Correct.
And that's what they're treating us like. They're not treating us like equals. They're treating us like handmaidens.
I just don't. I mean, like, look, here, my thing is, I just don't. I don't want half measures. This is where I'm at, man. I want absolutely zero half measures. I want complete, and I want somebody to stick with it. Like, I don't want Trump to sit, because every freaking time he goes out and goes, okay, we're imposing this and this kind of stuff, and then it's like a day later, well, we're postponing this and this.
No, don't postpone it. Put the clamps on it.
Stop. Put it in place. Let's go. Yeah. Fix this now.
Yeah.
Stop postponing crap. Now, this goes back to, again, me looking at it going, well, Trump is a sensationalist. He's a very much a entertainer. He's going to say and do lavish things and all this crap. Well,
I will say, though, in this whole tariff thing,
I just want him to do it.
He did do one very brilliant thing.
Well, he's done a lot of things. I mean, yeah.
He isolated China. And made everybody see what they are. They are the actual bad actors in this, right? He went, hey, look right here. These are the people that are screwing us. These are the people that are ripping us off. These are the people that are taking advantage of us. And the rest of the world went, oh, you're right. And now nobody wants to touch China other than Russia. Well, that's a failed state. And North Korea, which is a failed state. But what's happening right now, and what I love, is this. The only countries that want to deal with China are communist countries. Every other country that's democratic, socialist, or anything like that has turned away and said, we got to get with the US because we're going to lose our shirt, right? I think him turning and shining this giant bright spotlight on what is this broken country of China who suppresses its own people and does all these things that are, you know, and then I feel like if you're playing Risk, he just won.
Well, right? I think that, like, for instance, I think we still have to come step back to it and go, nothing is going to happen overnight, really. I mean, you're talking, this is, no matter what, ramifications of things of this nature take a long time to sort out.
And not only does he have that, he's got this big, beautiful tax bill he's trying to push through, which is actually good for the country and good for middle class. And it's going to give money to people who need it. It's going to stop doing certain things that shouldn't have been done. There's all these good things that are about to happen. And you know, he took on something in the beginning that was going to be a legendary fight. And that was the border. We knew that was going to be a legendary fight. That was going to be boss battle of all boss battles, because the only way that the Democrats can hold sway in power is if they allow illegal immigrants in and allow them to vote. They proved that during Biden's election, that you had to have millions and millions and millions of illegal immigrants come across the border to win. That's how
you just make them up,
or you just lie. But he politically understands that the only leverage that the Democratic Party has is non-birthright citizenship.
Correct.
Allowing illegals into the country without check. So now, while the Democrats' party's mad is not because MS-13 gang members are being shipped back, or they think they're losing their base. They're losing the people that they've sold the great lie to. You come to our country, we'll let you in for free, and we'll be in control, and we'll give you everything. Well, uh-oh, you lost. Now you don't have that control, and you're scrambling because you're losing your base. And what's so sad, and the thing is if you look at rational Hispanic, Black, Asian people, they all voted for Trump. Rational. So it's, we keep seeing this giant load of garbage going on, and recognition of this garbage going on. So I think you're right. I would agree with you, sir. I think you're right.
Okay. Well, Brian, that is about all the time we have for today, buddy. Happy Resurrection Sunday to you, sir.
Yes, it is Easter weekend, guys. And let's talk for just a second about what that represents. That represents the resurrection of Jesus. That represents the hope that we were given. That represents the opportunity for salvation. That represents, you know, if you really want to look at the culmination of everything that's celebrated you know, Jesus' birthday is a big celebration, but the real celebration is the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the coming true of the prophecy of Christ's return for our salvation. And that's the highest level of anything that you're going to see celebrated in the Christian community. I know there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. I know there's a lot of drag queen nun celebrations going on where they're making fun of Christians, and that's just idiots, man. You can't pay attention to that. But what I would tell you to do, man, is if you're a spiritual person, this should be a time of prayer and thankfulness, and forgiveness. If you're not a spiritual person, this is the time to probably turn your thoughts to looking at what you are and where you are in life. I would certainly say that this is a very impactful time. And I would encourage you to maybe engage with the nearest person to you that has some spiritual grounding and talk to them and see why this is so important. Because it is. I can't tell you guys how massively important this is. I've been quoting it a lot, but Jeremiah 33:3. You know, I will show you things unknown to you, right? I think it's so powerful and strong to hear those words. And this is part of that. Part of those is when you have somebody who doesn't know Christ, there are things that are unknown to them that are so impactful and important. And I think that we need to start talking about those things, start talking about eternity, man, because that's what it really is. It's eternity, you know.
I mean, this is the end.
My stepmother is ill, and you know, I say God's will be done, but I said this to my brother yesterday when I was talking to him, and it really just kind of brought a smile to my face. Is that she's about to go to a place where the only thing there is joy. I mean, enter that thought into your mind, Reggie, that you're going to go to a place where all drama, strife, worry, pain, anger, it's just gone. Like, think about that. It's just joy. Like, can you tell me a place on earth you can go where all it is pure joy? And I say pure joy. I don't mean like I'm going to go to Disney World and ride the Is a Small World ride. I mean, like pure joy, like the relief of everything that is a concern in your existence. Like, to me, that's so profound that it almost is too much for me to think about, right? Like, it's too much for me to comprehend that all the things that we see now will be gone. And all we will see is that beautiful vision of joy and transcending all this and going home. Right. And that's really what, and that crosses all nations, all races, all creeds. That is for everyone. Everyone is a party to that joy.
Can be.
Has access to it. Let's put it that
way. It's a choice.
It's a choice, but it still have access to it. Right. Oh, and by the way, okay, moment of the day. So yesterday, you know, I've been noticing that people aren't really friendly. But yesterday I had this super friendly guy stop and talk to me for like 5 minutes. And it made me really happy because he truly just was a joyous dude who was telling me how great the day was and how happy he was that the sun was out and how, you know, he was so glad to see everybody and shook my hand, told me, you know, God bless you. Have a great day. And I just felt good after talking to the guy. Not a negative thing to say, nothing to say that was unnecessarily anything. Just a guy that was filled with joy. We need more of those people.
We do, but also too, we need to be some of those people.
Yeah.
And that comes from the overflow of being just grateful for what you got and where you are. And I mean, you know, cause even in the bleakest of times, there's still hope. Yeah. That's the thing. Hope will pull you through some of the worst points of your, and it's up to not just you, but those around you to instill that hope and to bring forth that hope in you. Yeah.
And so give people the opportunity to see what that is.
So, you know,
live joy, live joy. That's my new shirt, t-shirt, live joy.
There was a, you know, there's a reason why our calendar is split, you know, at BC and AD. It's because this event. Yeah. And here we are in 2025. We're still doing that.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, even Neil deGrasse Tyson gives the church the credit for the calendar that we have that fixed a lot of problems. So there you go.
Go get them, Neil.
Anyway, we're R&B Talks.
I'm Brian.
I'm Reggie.
See ya.
Bye-bye.